670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Falcons turn the page. We're getting ready for the Vikings. But before we do, Arch, we got to ask you your thoughts on the good and the bad of what you saw Sunday in our close loss to the Bucks. I was thoroughly impressed with Michael Penix, and I just want to start there because we all talked in the offseason about what we thought he might be, what he could do. Arch, the 6 rushes for 21 yards were critical, right? I mean, that's something that I think kind of goes unspoken now because the game played out. But going into the game, we kept saying, oh, he's not a runner. But he can when he needs to be.
Yeah, no question about it, Carl. And good to be on with you and Mike. There were a lot of good things to like about Michael Penix's performance in the game. Came out gunning, hits the slant route to Bijan in an empty set for 10. And then 2 plays later, they're taking a shot play. He reads it out. It's not available, dumps it to Bijan, and Bijan blows the roof off the building. I know Mike spilled his beer and all sorts of stuff was happening during that sequence. And everybody else did too. I spilled my beer up in the press box as well. So it was a fun start, and I thought that Michael did a really good job of navigating the fact that you were unable to run the football with any success at all. He took a lot of shots in the face. Todd Bowles can throw a lot of stuff at you from a defensive standpoint, and he did. And I thought that Penix stood in, took shots, delivered the football. I don't know that there was an idea that he was going to throw it 42 times in the first game. I'm okay with him throwing it 42 times because of the way he handled it, you know. And I think that, and then you talk about the impromptu stuff, his ability to get out of the pocket, create some things on his own, which we knew was a piece of the equation. Hope we didn't have to use it too much, but hey, he dove into that pack of cards when he needed to at key moments of the game to help give us an opportunity to win the football game.
It is Dave Archer with us, guys, on the wait4.com hotline. We talk so much about Kyle Pitts, Arch. I thought Pitts was open a lot. I thought he was even open on that scramble for the touchdown. And I love the effort. I thought, you know, mentally he was in there. And do you feel, from a quarterback standpoint, that maybe obviously he's going to Drake a little too much there? Or you think Zach will get with him and say, look, we can get Pitts more involved earlier?
I think it's probably a combination of the both, Mike. I think there's an idea that, you know, Kyle stepped up. And Michael was one of the first guys to talk about, hey, we got KP the football. That was the first day of training camp, right? He knows how good a weapon Kyle Pitts can be. And Drake is a major part of what we do because we put him in the slot. We run him in some of those control routes where you're trying to extend drives for first downs. And so he's going to get a look. A lot of times coverage takes you a certain way, and I know fans will see, hey, wow, I looked over on the other side of the field and Kyle Pitts is wide open. Well, some of that has to do with the eyes of the quarterback drawing the coverage away from Kyle Pitts some, so he opens up maybe late in the route. And coverage takes you away from a certain area where Kyle may be. But I know Kyle was really good when they needed him to. He made some key plays, 7 grabs, 58 yards. He saved his best for Tampa over the last couple of seasons. He had 7 for 88 last year in game 1 and had 4 for 91 and 2 touchdowns against them down in Tampa. You guys remember. So he's been pretty good against Tampa over the last couple of last 3 games. I do know that he let Michael down on one play. They had a really good look, had good coverage. Bowles came after him. Kyle's running an over route. He stopped running. Michael threw him the ball to an open spot. It's going to be a monster play, and for some reason, Kyle stopped running. So there's still some things that have to happen in there that are some of his responsibility as well as far as making sure he's where he's supposed to be. But certainly, you're going to continue to get him the football, and whether you direct some of it away from Drake or not, that all remains to be seen. But I think coverage takes you certain ways, and that's where you distribute the ball.
Arch, what was your take on the Cordarrelle Hodge play? I thought he was impeded. I did not know when I first saw it. And we talked about it yesterday, but after someone sent me the footage, I said, oh, well, that could have easily been a pass interference. What did you think? Because if he keeps running, speaking of keeping running, is that a touchdown?
Well, first of all, let's put in perspective what your young quarterback did. You went ahead and teed him up with 11 seconds left, knowing you had no timeouts. And if the ball's completed inbounds in the field of play, you're not going to get another snap. Mm. So you just trusted your young quarterback to make the right decision and give the coaching credit for talking to him in his ear. I know Raheem was out on the field hollering at him saying, hey, remember where we are? Remember the timeout situation? So he handled the operation perfectly. Kadarrell's not going to get jammed at the line of scrimmage in that situation because they don't need to. They have to defend the goal line. If he catches the ball in the field of play, like I said, game's over. So when he gets to the top of the route, the defender is allowed the space that he's in. And that's where it gets a little skewed, and you kind of argue whether was that illegal contact, was it pass interference. It looked like Jamel Dean maybe widened a little bit and maybe collision Kadarrell as he got right to the goal line. It was a dime throw, no question, from Michael. He got impeded just a little bit. That's what kept him from getting to the football or kind of slowed him down a little bit where he couldn't get there. So the procedure from a Falcon perspective was right. We may have not gotten the call we should have gotten there. But, hey, guys, we got a lot of calls down the stretch in this game that kept us in play.
Never seen the refs give us 3 out of 4, Carl. And I were talking about that yesterday. Arch is heading to the land of 10,000 lakes, don't you know, with Wes on Sunday. You'll have the broadcast right here on 92.9 The Game. I thought the defense, we were so excited about the additions of Jalen Walker, Leonard Floyd is a free agent, of course, Pierce. They were close, Arch, and Caden Ellis had Baker wrapped up. They just never got home.
Well, Mike, you got to look at that in, yes, did they get him on the ground? No, they did not get him on the ground. And I know that's what the fan sees. But the effect of the passer, this is an offense, guys, that averaged 400 yards a game last year. It's the only offense was in the top five, both rushing and defense, and rushing and passing a year ago. You held them to 260 yards of offense. They, without Baker Mayfield's, 30 yards of scrambling, 39 yards of scrambling. They had 62 yards rushing. This is a team that averaged 150 yards on the ground last year. So as much as we're bemoaning the fact that we didn't get the quarterback on the ground, you forced him off his spot. Those five runs are not designed runs by Baker Mayfield. And you've got to fix that. You've got to make sure that the quarterback isn't going to get out. Because guess what? The guy you see this week is going to be able to do that. Bryce Young can do that a little bit. We know Jalen Daniels can do that. And, oh, by the way, after the bye, the dude that just won the game on Sunday night who makes a living doing it in the MVP of the league, he does it. So you got to fix the quarterback getting out of the pocket and breaking you down. But the defense, I thought, played extremely well. Now, you need to be better in third down situations. They were pretty much they led the league last year in third downs. They were 50% on third down. Need to get them off the field. But this is a team, guys, that averaged 32 minutes of possession time over 17 games in 2024. They held the ball for 24 minutes in this game. I mean, you're talking about a defensive effort that without not getting the quarterback on the ground was outstanding. Now, your offense helped you some in possessing the football, which is that complementary football we talk about. But I know there's disappointment. You want Jalen Pierce laying, or you want Jalen Walker laying on top of the quarterback. You want James Pierce Jr. grabbing him around the scruff of the neck and ragdolling him to the ground. And it's going to come. But Pierce was around the quarterback. When you force the quarterback, this doesn't even count in the fact how many times does Baker have to get flushed out of the pocket and throw the ball away. That's part of why they only had the ball for 24 minutes. So the pressure was there, the sacks weren't, and we let him get out of the pocket some. But I thought it was a tremendous defensive effort. You made a mistake on two plays. Xavier Watts undercut a play that Baker never saw Xavier Watts, and he misplayed it. He was too shallow. Had he been a step further back, he intercepts the first pass to Ibuka for a touchdown. And then if you listen to Baker Mayfield postgame, they knew that Jesse Bates had a tendency to jump that inside route from the slot. They sent Mike Evans in there, ran that little dig, and sent Ibuka on the post in behind. Bates jumped the in route and left Fuse one-on-one on outside technique with a guy running to the middle of the field on a post. Mistake by us in the secondary. They had four plays of 15 yards or more. They had 18 in the two games combined last year. I thought there was a lot of really good stuff defensively.
What concerns you about the Vikings Sunday night?
I think that, first of all, you point to the defensive side of the football, Carl. They've got two guys on the edge that might be, you could argue, were the two best edge rushers last year. Jonathan Gennard had 12 sacks, and Andrew Van Ginkel had 11 and a half. So 23 and a half sacks between just those two players. They adjusted their interior. They were having the ball run on them some. Remember, we ran the football for about 160 yards on them in our game. They went out and got Jonathan Allen, a defensive tackle, and got Javon Hargrave as the defensive tackle to try to bolster the interior of the defense. I think their front four is pretty good. I don't think they're as physical as Tampa was with Vita Vea and Logan and those guys, Gaines and those guys in the interior. I think Atlanta will be able to come off the ball and move them some, but I think I'm concerned about those guys being able to rush the passer and not really have to blitz. You've got a defensive coordinator that has as much ingenuity probably as Todd Bowles does when it comes with pressure. Brian Flores is extremely good, so this young quarterback is going to face two of the better defensive coordinators he's going to see all year long in week one and two.
And just real quick, Arch, we won't get the injury designation first thing till tomorrow. I know that Drake's got to be banged up for him to take himself out of that game. And Mooney, I know, is not yet 100%. Can the other guys do it, or can you get Bijan more involved in the passing game if need be on Sunday?
I'll be stunned if you don't see both those guys play, Mike.
Okay.
I think the other guys can make plays. I thought Casey Washington stepped up and made a couple of key catches in the game. He did a really good job of clearing stuff out. You've got to have a guy that wants to run to clear things out to allow some of those underneath routes to happen. I thought his execution was extremely good. I think you've got enough guys to make some plays.
670 The Score's Mullin Haugh is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haugh Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is obviously Pitts is there. We can't discount him, but I'll be surprised if Mooney and London don't play in this game.
Great stuff. Arch, appreciate you. Looking forward to Sunday night and week two in the NFL, certainly with our Falcons and the Vikings. Thank you again.
Fellas, great talking to you.
Yeah, good stuff.
Hey, that's great to hear. I mean, again, that's Arch's spidey sense. He thinks these guys will be out there.
670 The Score's Mullin Haugh is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haugh Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.